that man that has made me very, very comfortable. Mr. Big Stuff!
The sound of this year's New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. 10 stages of jazz, rhythm and blues, and spicy Louisiana music under sunny skies. Millions have attended Jazz Fest, as the annual ritual is affectionately known, but few are familiar with George Wein, the man who created the event and who is credited with inventing the concept of the Jazz Festival. Wein has just published his autobiography titled Myself Among Others. Ashley Kahn has this profile.
George Wein has produced thousands of musical celebrations, from New York to Nice, Pittsburgh to Paris, Los Angeles to Tokyo. At 77, he has survived and adapted to scores of changes in the music business and in the music itself. Still looks back on it all with a slight sense of surprise.
I didn't grow up with the idea that I was going to be a piano player, or then I was going to be a festival producer. I was a pre-med student in college, so everything just happened. I had no overall plan.
Wein's role as a leading music impresario continues to influence the lives of countless musicians. Newcomers like trumpeter Irvin Mayfield.
George Wein has affected not just only festivals, but so many musicians' careers.
And veterans like pianist Dave Brubeck.
I played a lot of times for George, and I have wonderful memories of George.
So who is George Wein, and what has driven him to endure and succeed in the ever-shifting business of presenting live music? To find the answers requires going back to 1954. The 28-year-old Wein was running a popular jazz club called Storyville and was approached by a couple from Newport wanting to bring music to their seaside community in Rhode Island.
My model came from two things. One, I had my club in Boston, so I knew the artists that were popular. I also knew that there was a classical music festival in New England called Tanglewood. But I said, why can't we do a jazz festival? And I just put together all the musicians that I knew had done business, plus the complexity of bringing in some different names that the critics would pay attention to.
The Newport Jazz Festival was an immediate sensation and established a winning formula. Jazz critic Don Heckman.
When you go to one of George's festivals from the very beginning, you could experience jazz in an amiable, pleasant setting that helped you to experience the music. And I think that's been an invaluable contribution.
The Newport Festival proved to be an annual event with far-reaching consequences. In the festival's second year, for example, a smoky Miles Davis solo led to a fruitful record contract for the trumpeter. In 1957 at Newport, Duke Ellington revived his career with a rousing rendition of an old swing number.
And now we would like to play some of our 1938 vintage, Diminuendo in Blue and Crescendo in Blue.
Stories I have with Duke Ellington, Count Basie, or Miles Davis, or Thelonious Monk. I have interesting stories. I'm proud of what I've done in my life, and I felt that just once it should be written from my point of view.
During his long career, Wein was often behind the wheel, driving a number of historic moments that are described in his autobiography. Playing piano with Lester Young, arranging a White House jazz concert where Jimmy Carter sang Salt Peanuts with Dizzy Gillespie. Producing the Newport Folk Festival when Bob Dylan decided to plug in and play amplified. Just one example of Wein's ability to adapt to and present new musical styles.
In the 60s, the Jazz Festival at Newport was the event in America for the hip people. And then rock and roll came along. I called a friend of mine, I said, which of these rock guys can play? I hired all those groups at Newport.
Bassist Dave Holland performed at and witnessed that pivotal festival.
Frank Zappa was there, and then there were all the jazz groups as well. So it was kind of one of those moments where you saw history changing.
Ween learned the value of relating to younger audiences, as well as the wisdom of not imposing his own preferences on the music. That's become a trademark of his festivals. Irvin Mayfield.
The George Ween touch is not opinionated, and it's not so much about what he likes as much as what's going on in the scene today.
Today, many would say that Ween's jazz festivals have become less about jazz and more about music in general. In these days of narrowcasting and demographic targeting, perhaps that's his most valuable and lasting contribution, connecting people by appealing to as large an audience as possible. Don Heckman.
I think what they brought was a kind of sense of community, which was very important, a great racial and ethnic mix, and a general feeling that everybody was together in their love for and experience of jazz.
And I'm going to leave you with a little Earl King tune of Professor Longhair made Five Below.
The music business has always been a delicate balance of art and commerce, music and money. For over 50 years, Ween has maintained that balance, keeping his festivals running in a way that still earns the respect of the musicians he hires. Again, Irvin Mayfield.
It's an important job, and to do that, it can't be about the money. It has to really be about your interest of wanting to share your joy and your happiness, sharing that with other people.
George Ween is still crafting his legacy. He continues to successfully do what he has done since 1954, on a seaside field in Newport, in an amphitheater in Los Angeles, or on the grassy inner field of a racetrack in New Orleans.
Ashley Kahn is a music journalist and author of A Love Supreme, the story of John Coltrane's signature album. The New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation Archive contributed some of the material he used here. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.